Good morning and hello again today. Please bear with us as the HSE, the Director General of that organisation, Paul Reid, is on the line. Also, how Irish pharma companies may have the solution to the laboratory agent in short supply, home carers diverted to work in nursing homes, pharmacies adapt to increased demands, pets in lockdown. We've expert advice, Damien Lawler, on the fallout in sport, how the coronavirus crisis will change the face of retail in Ireland, and Niamh Lyons on the government formation moves. Email today, sor@rte.ie. Text us on 51551. And you can also tweet at todaysor. Well, it's not just here, obviously, that the crisis is being endured or experienced. The Washington Post's lead story today is headlined US Trajectory Akin to Italy's. Pence warns in the New York Times. It reports that the US government has nearly emptied its emergency stockpile of protective medical supplies, and also Americans bought 1.9 million guns in March, according to a New York Times analysis, the second busiest month ever for gun sales. Now, a fortnight ago on this programme, we spoke to the Minister for Health, Simon Harris.
About 2 weeks ago, the published figures showed we had tested 347 people in Ireland for COVID-19. We then saw 1,700 people being tested last week, and we saw a figure of 6,600 in recent days. I was out in the National Viral Reference Laboratory with the Taoiseach yesterday, and what they're basically telling us now is the demand from GPs for tests is very high, and they think they'll be testing between 10 and 15,000 people on a daily basis.
Right, that was the 19th of March, speaking to Simon Harris, the Minister for Health. Paul Reid, Director General of the HSE, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sam.
And thanks for joining us. Can you just fill us in on why we have failed, or the collective effort to get the testing up to between 10 and 15,000 a day? We're still well shy of that.
Yeah, I think, Sean, I think the first thing that demonstrates the scale of this world pandemic is your brief synopsis of what's happening in other countries and the choke points that they've met, both in terms of PPE and testing kits, as well as ourselves. So it is a worldwide pandemic. And as we have scaled up, and the Minister was talking about our scaling up a couple of weeks ago, as we have scaled up across a range of areas for this pandemic, scaled up in a manner that in the history of the HSE and the history of the state, we've never done before. We've at each time reached various different choke points. So we can just very brief summary of what's happened in the past 2 weeks. We've gone from having zero test centres across the country to now just less than 50. We know that contact tracing was a major element of the WHO guidelines in terms of containing this. We've gone from 36 contact tracers to now over 1,400, and we will scale that up to 4,000. Our labs was our original capacity of our labs, and we went from one lab at the start of this, the NVRL lab in UCD, to now over 19 labs, and we will increase that as well. And then we had the testing kits, which was a very particular problem for us worldwide, securing them. And we have secured a contract now to deliver 100,000 doses a week. So at each point, we faced various worldwide challenges, whether it's for kits, whether it's for testing kits. And now, right now, Sean, which we are experiencing, is a worldwide chase around the world for the production of these reagents, which is a major element of the testing process.
It would appear, Paul, though, that perhaps the answer to that particular problem with the reagents is under our noses in the Irish pharma companies, according to the Irish Times today, and we'll be talking to one of their representatives in a little while. That can actually be done here in Ireland.
Yeah, well, when I did, and which has been quoted, the message I sent out last night, which was asking the public to bear with us, because there will be a few strands to the solution for this, which we're working throughout the night on. And it's a combination of, firstly, we have secured literally overnight the capacity to transfer some of the queue that we have for testing to a very reputable international organisation based in Europe. And that will start to address some of the queue that we already have. That's the first solution to it.
That's very interesting, Paul. Can you just elaborate a little bit on that? What will that allow you to do in terms of increasing the number of analysis done of the tests?
Yeah, it'll help us to address the queue that we currently have of those awaiting to be tested. And secondly, it will allow us then, in our own labs to prioritise and focus on some of the priority groups, which are the healthcare workers and inpatients in hospitals. So that's one element of the solution, if I can just say that. The second element of the solution is securing a supply of these reagents. And we are chasing all around the world with the support of IDA and other organisations of the state. And we have secured some further supplies from China. There are risks to that because we won't be able to fully validate till we get them on arrival. That's the nature of the market that we're in at the minute. But that is another, and that will be in the next week, 10 days. But the third aspect to it, you're quite correct, is working with Irish companies here, both Irish pharma companies, biopharma companies, our own labs, other labs, other third level institutions. And that's a parallel stream that we have working and ongoing discussions with to see the capacity of those organisations to ramp up and supply further. So there's three elements of the solution. International organisation testing us, securing an order from China, and working with the major organisations here.
I know,
in the
but you see, I suppose what people are wondering about, and I don't mean to be beating you around the head over this, Paul, but people were assured a fortnight ago that literally within a few days there would be 15,000 tests per day done, and I think there was a figure of 37,000 testing kits due literally within days. Now, when are we actually going to see that, or is it possible for you even to say?
Well, the first thing just to say to your listeners and reassure them, we are in the top tier of countries in the world with the number of tests that we have completed. So we've completed 30,000 tests, and that benchmarks really well. We're probably in the top five of countries testing all across the world. And the difficulty
has been... Right, but
you're
at a tenth of the testing level that you promised us a fortnight ago.
Yeah. And we want to get there, Sean, and I assure your listeners we're working around the clock to get there. And a major part, the squeeze point that we have right now, and if you look at the experience of what's happening all across Europe, there's a major learning from all countries now that the significance of testing and the containment. So you now have a major rush from the US, from the UK, from France, Spain, Italy, all across the world, now all chasing the same delivery suppliers. The industry is telling us the increase that they have seen in the demand for these reagents has gone up by over 1,000% in the last 10 days.
Yeah, but did we not have first mover advantage? We woke up to this thing, at least we were told we were ahead of the game, ahead of those other countries, certainly the United States.
And we were, and we have been, and we continue to be in terms of our testing volumes that we're doing, and we want to stay there. And it is a very difficult one for us, and we are working on those three solutions, three very different solutions, getting some of it tested abroad, some supply of kit from China that will take a week to 10 days to come through, with some risk associated with it, and equally in negotiations right throughout today, right throughout all yesterday, and I'll be on calls later, with Irish pharma companies to see the capacity of their supply to significantly ramp up and help us in this.
Right.
Really national crisis.
What's your best guess or best estimate? This is about more than guessing, obviously, for where we'll be at in the numbers being tested and with those tests analysed, say a week from today.
Well, exactly where the minister said is where we all want to get to. We want to get to those testings of about between 10 and 15,000 per day. It's not going to happen over the next week, and I want to be very clear with the public. We're at currently complete a test in the lab is about 2,600 per day. So we're not going to get to that number over a week or 10 days. But with the three interventions that I've just described that we've put in place, we will significantly ramp up. But it will take us longer. We had always said it would take us longer to get to 15,000 per day. So that will take time. But over the next 10 days, we're working around the clock to really break this issue. But just to reassure the public again, Sean, and I can just briefly mention it, two things. Number one, the testing is about giving us greater details and data and analysis of what's happening and from a public health perspective. From an individual's perspective, who's awaiting a test, the full application of the health system still applies. So if an individual is gone from maybe symptom to something more, a higher level of sickness, GP care or hospital care, our normal social care services are there to support that. So I'd like to put your listeners at some reassurance. As they are feeling greater sickness, they should continue to use our healthcare system. The data and the testing for us is from a wider public health perspective, so we can address and understand the community impact and the wider impact of the disease.
How many tests are you sending abroad, or will you be sending abroad?
We're just literally overnight have secured some agreement with them. It will be a significant end, but I can't give you details because we're literally just finalising with that company right
will
now.
Could you do 1,000 a day?
From themselves? Well, look, just say even from our own, you asked the question about our own capacity here. We're equally in discussions with a private animal medicines company to get them to ramp up to 1,000 per day, and that's going to happen over the next 7 to 10 days. There is a kind of rescaling they have to do. We're working with partnerships in Trinity College and other partnerships they have for 1,000 per day from themselves. And what we have sent abroad would be a significant proportion of the queuing system that we have. So I think we're addressing this as we have met every other challenge we have been faced with in the past few weeks, with the full might, the full support of the state, and addressing it from a wide range of issues. And I just want to give you a public assurance on that. And I know I have been, and others who have been out speaking, have been like a broken record. And I will restate, if you can give me the opportunity, just briefly.
I think I know what's coming.
The most important people can do, things can do, I know we're going to talk about beds shortly, hopefully. Most important thing people can do is please, please, please continue everything in terms of the measures that we've put in place. The hygiene measures and the stay-at-home measures, and I won't go through them all, but it's so important.
Do you have a sense that it's working?
Well, you know, I'm traditionally an optimist, and that's the way I want to stay. And we are seeing reassuring signs for the public. So we are seeing a couple of measures. Well, we're certainly seeing, for example, and I know you've covered this previously, but when we contact people who've been tested positive, and we go through their contacts over the previous while, and that has moved from, you know, closer to 20 on average, down to 5, and most recently down to 3. So people are staying at home, which reduces the community impact, which is the major impact of the disease to date. So those measures are reassuring. However, what I would say to the public, it is early days. We are early days in this cycle. It's early days in the curve for us. But there would be good signs that what the public are doing and the sacrifices they're making for us is helping us to ensure that we don't have a massive peak in one particular week, and we can aim for the hospital system. And by the way, this is not just the hospital system that's under pressure, as you well know. It's the community services that we provide are now under pressure. So greatest thing everybody can do is please stick with us.
Okay.
Bear with us. What they're doing is working.
And follow the guidance and keep the rules.
Very early days.
One thing, you've been reported or represented as saying that, look, what we've seen now in terms of the scaling up of the health system is akin to the Sláinte Care proposals happening on speed. Now, one of those elements of that is the private hospitals effectively being taken over for 3 months at least by the state. You're going to run those. It increases your bed capacity and so forth. But I read in the Irish Times today that public hospitals, consultants working in public hospitals will continue to be able to treat private patients in public hospitals. Why should that be so?
Well, I can just, I think the first bit, the private hospitals, the benefit that provides to us, if I can just briefly reference that and come to your consultant's point. If you look at the start of this, the first thing we wanted to do was make more beds available in the hospital system, because that's the experience all across the world, major pressure on the hospital system. And we've gone from 0 beds available in our public system, because we've about 11,000 beds and all full, as you know, previously. We've gone from 0 available to right now, today, to having over 5,500 beds available to help us meet what's going to be, we know it's going to be, a major pressure on our system in the next few weeks. So that is a really important point for us, and that is made up of 2,200 beds that we have in our public system that we've been able to free up, 2,000 beds that have been secured with private hospital groups, and 1,100 beds, which I'm sure you've come to at the moment, that we've just immediately created out in City West. And we will bring on a further 1,200 beds across the country in a similar vein. So we will very shortly, in the next 2 to 3 weeks, have an extra 7,000 beds available to us in the system. And a major part of that agreement, to go back to your question, was in relation to the primary focus for all our consultants and all our healthcare workers has been the public system. And the private hospital system will now be working alongside, hand in glove, now with the public
system.
They've
all been turned into public hospitals. That's what's happened to the 19 private hospitals, right?
For the duration of this, we were finalising the heads of terms with all of the individual groups right now at this stage. So yes, in essence, for the duration of this crisis and this pandemic in Ireland, the public hospital system is completely available now. The private hospital groups are completely available now, and they will be working at a local level with our hospital groups.
So you effectively run the private hospitals in the public interest, but meanwhile, because of a system that's there, the two-tier system, in the public hospitals, there's still going to be private medicine. And this apparently has, caused consternation, as I understand it this morning, among the 19 private hospitals with whom you've been engaging, because they feel that they won't be able to provide the consultant cover, the consultant-led care in the private hospitals which you are now taking over, because the consultants are effectively being incentivized to stay in the public system because they can continue on with their private patients.
Well, Sean, just to reassure your listeners, the primary focus of every healthcare worker we have, including consultants, and I know this because I engage with them regularly, will be to put all of our efforts into meeting and fighting this COVID-19 disease.
Yeah, but if that is the case, Paul, I mean, why is it then that we're reading in the Irish Times that private patients with non-COVID-19 illnesses will continue to be treated in public hospitals during the coronavirus pandemic? Have they got it wrong?
What I will say is, look, there are various types of contracts that our consultants have. What we have brought across is, you're correct, what we have brought across is all of the staff and consultants that we have in the private hospitals will now move to a type A contract, which is public only focus. Some of our existing consultants have particular contracts. We're not changing their contracts right now, but I wanted to reassure your listeners, and I know this from the consultants, their primary focus will be on the public attacking this COVID-19, and whatever resource is needed from our public hospitals, including consultants, will be directed at this, and I want to assure your public on that one.
But this has caused consternation among the 19 private hospitals that there's this continuing arrangement. They feel it will undermine their capacity to work as public hospitals.
Yeah, well, we are, I mean, if you just take it, the agreement was concluded over the weekend, and I want to thank key officials in the Department of Health, the Minister and ourselves, and indeed the private hospital groups for that agreement. We're finalising the heads of terms and agreement. We will be in discussions with all of the hospital groups and are engaged in, as we're finalising those agreements with each individual hospital group, and I've no doubt we will iron out any remaining issues or any concerns they have, because I want to thank them. How they've stepped up has been phenomenal.
Okay, look, Paul Reid, thank you so much indeed for joining us. I know you have to get away. You have to prepare for a meeting of that cabinet subcommittee on the coronavirus crisis. Paul Reid, Director General of the HSE, thank you indeed. We'll take a quick break.